I'd ask you to turn in the scriptures to the book of Numbers, the chapter 16. The Old Testament book of Numbers, the chapter 16. And we're going to break into the chapter at the verse 41. Numbers 16, verse 41. But on the morrow all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." It came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, a cloud covered it. The glory of the Lord appeared. Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." They fell upon their faces. Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them there. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in that plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. And we end our reading there at the close of that chapter, and we know that God will bless his truth to our hearts this afternoon. Let's bow together for a moment's prayer. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the hymns of Zion that we've been singing together this afternoon. Dear Father, how they've brought our thoughts and our attentions, the Lord, to the things of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Father, we thank you for that wonderful name. Lord, we think of that instruction that was given to Mary and to Joseph. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Our God, this afternoon, as we come to look at this portion of thy word, I ask and pray, Lord, that thou would grant me help from thyself. To take these old lips of clay, to touch them, Lord, with that live coal from off the altar, that we might be able to speak of thee, and to uplift our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tarry with us, give help, we pray, for in Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. I'm sure as we've read the history books, we're all familiar of the great plague that took place in the city of London way back around the year of 1664. What many of us perhaps are not aware of is while that plague was taking place in London, there was a little village down in the midst of Derbyshire. They had within that village a tailor. He had ordered some cloth to be brought from London. When that cloth was brought into that little village, it brought with it the plague that was going round that city of London at that time. The plague began to strike the individuals in the city, and not knowing what to do, some of them gathered together, the clergymen and some of the other leaders in the city, or in the village, and they determined that they would keep the village under quarantine. They wouldn't allow anyone to go out of the city. They wouldn't allow anyone to come in. And they did that until the plague finished its course. At the end of the time when the plague had ceased, in that little village, there were 259 people dead, out of a total of 292 inhabitants. There was a little town called Iam there in Derbyshire. And you know, as we come to this passage of Scripture here, we find in these verses that we've read together that there is a plague that is moving amongst the people. For those in the time of the plague of London, it was that bacteria that had infected them. But here, as we come to this chapter, we find that the plague that is coming upon the people of Israel, it is in response to the judgment of God. In fact, if you take in your own time and you read this chapter of Numbers 16, it is a chapter that ought to bring great sadness and great heaviness to those that read it. It is a chapter that focuses upon that subject of rebellion amongst God's people. Within the nation of Israel at that time, in the opening verses, there were three characters, namely Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They were individuals that were of the tribe of Levi. And as they viewed Moses and Aaron, They decided, well, Moses and Aaron are leaders. Moses is leading the people. Aaron is the high priest. We are just as good as they are. They were not happy with those that God had appointed to that particular task. And they gathered themselves together and they began to turn the people against Moses and Aaron. In the verse 3 of the chapter you will read, it says they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves among the congregation of the Lord. You see, they looked at Moses and Aaron and said, look, you've elevated yourselves to this position. But they were wrong. When we read the scripture, we find that Moses was appointed of God. We find that Aaron, the high priest, and his sons and his family, they too were appointed of God to that particular office. And when this happens, Moses and Aaron, they take the matter to the Lord. And as you read the chapter, you'll find that God deals with the nation of Israel. He deals with the people at that time. And we find that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, those that supported him, they go down suddenly into the pit. God said he's going to punish them. Moses says, do a new thing, open up the earth. And the Bible tells us, in the verse 32 there of this chapter, it said, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed them up and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. You see, it is a chapter that brings very quickly and very readily to our mind God's judgment upon a rebellious people. We have these three individuals. We have those that supported them. And there we find that they're swallowed up. They go down into hell, down into the pit. Why? Because they rebelled against God. You would imagine as you read that within these verses of the chapter that it would have put the fear of God, as it were, within the nation of Israel. You would imagine that as others looked on, they would have been very careful in their language. They would have been very careful in their conduct. They would have been very careful in pointing the finger at Moses and Aaron. But it seems that was not the case. We began to read in the verse 41. And it says, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. You know, as we look at the children of Israel, they were a people that are always complaining. They were a people that were never satisfied. No matter what God did for them, they were never content. They were never happy. They murmured not against Moses and Aaron, but against the very God of heaven. You know how careful we each need to be when we lift our finger and we complain against God. When we complain about the things that we have or the things that we think we ought to have, we're in effect blaming God for these issues. And that was the case with the nation of Israel. God's anger again was kindled against the people. Moses and Aaron, as they looked to the tabernacle, that place of worship, that place where the sacrifices were made, they noticed the Shekinah glory. They noted that God, that glory had descended upon it, that God was coming down to be present amongst his people there. And they realize what is happening. As you read the verses, you see that when they noticed it, they recognize that God is going to deal here in wrath and judgment. And yet as we look at these two men, we have to commend their actions. They see that God is coming to deal in judgment. And it says there that Moses and Aaron, they come before God in the attitude of prayer. They come before God and they plead for the people. God has said to them there in the verse 45, get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. What were Moses and Aaron doing? They were praying. Oh, you and I could have looked at them and said, well, this people deserve everything they're getting. They've been murmuring against you, Moses. They've been murmuring against Aaron. They don't want you there. They deserve God's wrath and judgment. Let the judgment fall. But you know they didn't. You see, these two men, they recognized that it was their duty, their responsibility to pray for the unconverted, to pray for those that God's wrath was going to fall upon. If you and I, as God's people, had been in the same situation, the question would have to be asked, what would we have done? Would we have said we're fed up with them? They've tried our patience. They've tried our long-suffering. Lord, you deal with them. Or would we continue to intercede and to pray for them? We ought to pray. We ought to intercede for them. We ought to plead that God in grace and mercy will deal with men and women that are unconverted. While they may not treat us very kindly, while they may mock us and scorn at the child of God, yet it is our duty and our responsibility to pray for the unconverted. Here as we look at this chapter, we see that the judgment has gone out. As the judgment has gone out, we see that Moses speaks to Aaron and gives him that instruction. And there in the verse 47, we read, "And Aaron took as Moses commanded, ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living." Here we see Aaron, the high priest. As we look at him in this chapter, we can see him, as it were, and he's standing in the midst of the people of Israel at that time. Many have been struck by the plague, and there he is. And the Bible reveals to you and I that as Aaron stood, he was, as it were, a dividing line. To his right were those that were dying. To his left were those that were living. And he was standing on that little ground. You see, what a solemn thought that is. Standing between the living and the dead. And you know, as we gather here in this meeting this evening, or this afternoon, we recognize in the teaching with the scripture that there are two groups of people here. There are those that are saved, those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, those that are alive in Christ, and there are those that are dead in their trespasses and sin. There are those that know of God, there are those that know of the scripture, yet they've never come in personal faith, they've never come in repentance, and they've never embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope of redemption. They're dead. They're bound in that broad road. They're heading to that place called hell as fast as their feet will carry them. And the question must come to each one here: where are you this afternoon? Are you amongst the living? Or are you amongst the dead? But for a few moments this afternoon, I want to draw your attention to Aaron here. Because as we look at Aaron and his position here, we see him standing between the living and the dead. And he is in that format a mediator. He's a middleman. He is, in this particular passage, he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want just for a few moments to bring to your attention some thoughts that bring before us the person and the duty and the responsibility of the mediator. We're familiar with the term today. Mediator is one that mediates between two parties. You may have seen it or heard it on the radio. Perhaps there's employees and they're looking to pay rise. The employer, he doesn't want to give them a pay rise. And then the trade union comes in and they have a mediator. Someone working between both parties to try and make agreement. Maybe they've gone out on strike. And the mediator is brought in to try and bring a settlement to the difficulties that are there. As we think upon that, we have to consider the person of the mediator. The mediator has to be one that is known to both parties. This particular account here, it's Aaron the high priest. Aaron is a man who is known of the children of Israel. He has been the high priest since they've begun their journey into the wilderness toward the promised land. He's known of God. He is that man who has been appointed of God. He and his sons were given those high priestly garments. They were consecrated unto the Lord. He is that representative before God for the people of Israel. He's known to both parties. We could look and say, well, Moses is the same. He's known of God. He's appointed of God. He's also known of the nation of Israel. But Moses wasn't the high priest. Aaron was the high priest. He was the man appointed of God to go in that place of sacrifice. He was the one appointed to bring the blood and to there sprinkle it upon the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement. Exodus 29 in the verse 9. It reveals to us there of Aaron and his sons. It says, "Thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons." They had that office appointed of God. They were recognized by the God of heaven as those that were interceding on behalf of the people of Israel. Moses was recognized, but he wasn't ordained to be a priest. For him to take upon himself that office of offering atonement would have been breaking God's laws and God's commands. You see, over in Hebrews 5 in the verse 4, we're reminded, "No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." As we think of Aaron here, the mediator, the middle man, we see him as a type and depictor of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, in coming to this old wicked world, and bleeding and dying on the cross of Calvary, he is the mediator for sinful men because he was man. He was the God-man. The scriptures remind us how he was born of the Virgin Mary, born of her without sin. Over in Matthew 12, in the verse 46, we read as the crowd look on, it says, "And while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him." They recognized him in human form. As we read the account of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read that he was one that was hungry. We read that he got weary and he got tired, and nothing speaks more of humanity than the weariness of the flesh. He was the God-man. Took onto himself this garb of humanity that he might, as he walked on this earth, live perfectly before the God of heaven, that he might obey all the commandments that you and I break daily in thought, word, and deed. But not only was the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledged by mortal man to be a man, he was acknowledged by the God of heaven. He was the Son of God. Over in Matthew chapter 3, in the verse 17, there we have the words of the Father. It says, "Lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Lord Jesus Christ was a mediator, known to both parties. The Shorter Catechism puts it like this, that he was God and man, two distinct natures and one person forever. He took on that garb of human flesh, and yet his deity was revealed in his actions. My, as the people listened to him teach, they could say that never man spake like this man. They watched him as he took his hand and touched the eyes of the man that was blind, touched the eyes of the lame, and made them whole again. As we think of his death on the cross of Calvary, there the centurion, as he viewed what happened on that day, he said, "Surely this was the Son of God." He was recognized as the God-man. He was the one who had all the qualifications there to be a mediator. He was the one who could rightly go to the cross of Calvary and bleed and die for sinful man. Oh, as we look at Aaron here, we see him in that role as mediator. Even in that role, we get a little insight into his personality. As you look at that verse 47, we find there, "And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation." Here we see Aaron, and there is that running. There is that haste, there is that speed to try and do what he can to cease the death of individuals. You see, he had a love for the people. Here's a man and he's running. There's an eagerness, there's a keenness. He's going with the censer. He's going to stop the plague. He's running to get into the midst. We learn in the last verses there how many died. 14,700. All slain. And Aaron is running to be about the master's business. He's keen here to stay the plague. He's keen here to see that lives are preserved and lives are saved. There is a challenge as we look at that for you and I as God's people. Are we running? Are we busy about the master's business? Well, Paul could say in Romans 10 and the verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Not only was Aaron running here, but you see the boldness. Bear in mind where he was heading. He was heading out into the midst of the plague. He was heading to the place of sickness. He was heading to the place of disease. No thought is taken for his own life. No thought is taken for his own welfare. He's doing what is required that he might see lives saved and lives preserved. He was a selfless man as we look at him here. What a comparison with the age in which we live today. We live in a selfish age. Everyone concerned with their individual lives, and they steal and they gamble and they murder and commit fraud, all that they might have, all more possessions for themselves. Here as we look at Aaron, we see him as that role of the mediator here in betwixt the people. But we notice not only that as we look at him here and his haste and his speed, but we see that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Aaron had a love for his fellow countrymen, the nation of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ had a love for men and women. Romans 5 and the verse 7 tells us, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Friend, this afternoon, as you and I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for those that hated him. Those that despised him, those that rejected him. Oh, we can look at Aaron and commend him for what he did at the time of the plague. But look what Christ did. He left heaven's glory. Why, when you read Paul's letter to the people at Philippi, how the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself, being obedient unto the death of the cross. The
the blessed Son of God,
left the splendors and glories of heaven, came down here and submitted to the will of old cruel men. There he went to the cross of Calvary. Oh, he was doing it in obedience to the Father. He was doing it because he loved you and I, that we might be saved. As we look at Aaron, we notice also the place of the mediator. He stood between the living and the dead. What a solemn place to be. As Aaron stood there, he could look and he could see on one side of him. He could see the life ebbing from the bodies. He could see the disease as impact began to spread upon the flesh and upon the face of the individuals. He could see that death stare, as it were, as the life departed from them. To another side, he could see those that were alive. He was there in that middle part. In the place of wrath and anger, he was standing in between. Oh, as we think of Aaron, that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is that mediator. He's the one that stands between you and the righteous anger of a holy God. You see, the Bible teaches you and I, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and we are all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and I this afternoon, born into this world by natural generation, we deserve the wrath and judgment of God. We deserve hell for all of eternity, but there's one that stands between. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, could say in the chapter 2 and the verse 14, "For he is our peace, who hath made us both one, and hath broken down that middle wall of partition between us." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the shedding of his precious blood, he opened up a way of access. He satisfied the divine justice of God. He did what you and I could not do. We cannot keep the law perfectly. We are sinners by birth, by practice, but the Lord Jesus Christ, by his perfect life, by his sinless death, he satisfied God's law, satisfied divine justice. And therefore, as God looks upon our Savior, he sees not our sin, but he sees his beloved Son. And when we come by repentance and faith and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're clothed in his righteousness. Lord Jesus Christ, by that atoning death, he became our mediator. He shed his blood and he died that we might live. Paul could say in Ephesians 2, "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in his ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross having slain the enmity thereby." You and I deserved hell. You and I deserve judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ took it all that we might live. He's standing in that place between the living and the dead. You know what is the purpose of the mediator? We mentioned it there at the start. The mediator is to bring both parties together, to try and bring a settlement. Aaron here brought the incense. As he offered it, he was seeking to appease the anger of God. He was seeking to appease the wrath and judgment of God, that the plague might be stayed upon the people. As we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he did likewise. Aaron was the man appointed to offer the sin offering. He was the man appointed to take that sacrifice, to slay that animal, to lay its carcass upon the fire. Why, as the fire fell, it indicated the judgment of God. As the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat, it atoned for the sins of the people. That was his role. For their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, he did the same for you and I on the cross of Calvary. His blood was shed. His blood was shed that you and I might live. His blood was shed that you and I might know eternal life. By his God's wrath and judgment was poured out upon our Savior. The fire, as it were, of heaven didn't strike upon you and I that deserved it, but it struck upon him. Isaiah could say that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Friend, this afternoon, as we think of the gospel message, it is a message that reminds you and I of our sin, but it is a message that reminds us of the love of God. It reminds us of that one who was our substitute, that one who bore the punishment, that you and I might go free, that you and I might be saved, that we might know that eternal life that is available there in the kingdom of God. As we look at this account here, we see Aaron, by his actions, he brought together the offender and the offended. The Lord Jesus Christ did likewise on the cross of Calvary. Our sins had grieved the holy God. He, by his sacrifice, brought sinful man nigh unto the God of heaven. The hymn writer Cecil Francis Alexander put it this way. He said, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate and let the sinner in. We look at this passage and we speak of Aaron. We view him as a mediator. We view him as one who stayed the plague upon the people. But there is one far greater than Aaron. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to young Timothy, could say, for there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You see, there's only one can deal with your sin and mine. I can't deal with your sin. I'm only an earthly individual. No earthly priest, no church, no creed. It can sort out your sin. It must be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one. You can come and confess your sin. You can accept by faith the finished work that Christ accomplished there on the cross of Calvary. You can know that cleansing that is to be found in him. The writer of Hebrews could speak of him again. Describe him there in the chapter 8 and the verse 6. He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Oh, for Aaron here and the nation of Israel, it was simply life. He stood in the midst and he offered the incense that people might live in a physical sense. But when we view the Lord Jesus Christ, he's bringing life more abundant. He's bringing life for all of time, life for all of eternity that is to be found in him alone. Well, there's many in this world today and they value their life. We all value our life. But what about eternal life? Comes to the 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength there's more, then we die. What then? The Lord Jesus Christ, by his atoning work, brings eternal life. That our names can be recorded there in that Lamb's book of life, that we can one day walk the golden streets of heaven. Friend, this afternoon, as we view it in that light, are you amongst the living or the dead? We read of the plague. The plague that the human race suffers from today is that plague of sin. They're polluted with it. You're destined to perish in that place of eternal destruction, that place called hell. But there is salvation. There is pardon. And it is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died that you might live. Will you put your faith and trust in him this afternoon? Or will you say, like the crowd that gathered there, we don't want this man to rule over them? Will you dismiss the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you trample his blood into the ground? You know, we talk today of those that have given their lives and as a sacrifice in world wars. And we honor them, and that's rightly so. But the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood that sinners might be saved. And yet how many today trample over the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? They say, I don't care. I'm depending upon my church. I don't care what Christ did. I don't care what he suffered on the cross of Calvary. I want to get to heaven my way. I want to do my own thing. Friend, what a fool you are. There's a way of salvation. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think of this book of Numbers, we also have those that were bitten by the serpents and they were to look and live. John 14, it's referenced, or John 3 in the verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Friend, this afternoon, you have to look to Calvary. If you want sins forgiven, if you want peace with God, if you want eternal life in heaven, look to the cross of Calvary. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come by faith and put your trust in him. And know that eternal life that is to be found in him alone. Aaron stood between the living and the dead. Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. Which camp are you today? Are you alive in Christ, or are you still dead in trespasses and sin? If you're still in your sin, then I implore you to come and to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's willing to save. He's willing to pardon. He's willing to forgive. He loves you with an everlasting love. Will you not come this afternoon and confess your sin? I trust and pray you will. You'll come, get right with the Lord Jesus Christ, and know that peace of God that passeth all understanding. We trust and pray that the Lord will bless us truth to each heart this afternoon. Amen.